HealingPowerHour.com.
This episode of Healing Power Hour Radio is sponsored by Natural Hair Creations by Samaya, located only 5 minutes south of downtown Atlanta, specializing in all your natural hair care needs. Whether you have locks, twists, or other unique natural hairstyles, Samaya is your natural hair care specialist. For a free consultation or to schedule your appointment, call 404-226-5429. That's 404-226-5429. 5429 Natural Hair Creations by Samaya.
I'm scared,
Complete Auto Body and Repair, located off of Highway 85 and Roberts Drive in Riverdale, Georgia. Specializing in exterior, interior detailing and repair, discount car rental, dent removal, bumper repair, glass replacement, auto detailing, and more. They even have their own towing services for your convenience. For free estimate and more information, call 770-907-9629. That's 770-907-9629.
Tune to Healing Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Akilah L.
Upon you a great day. Hope everyone is doing well, and those who are listening to me live, good morning. This is Dr. Akila L, but you can call me Dr. Akila, and today I wish you blessings of love, peace, health, and prosperity. Today is going to be a controversial show, and this is why I have a disclaimer at the beginning of this show, because all gloves are off for this one. This is a subject I'm very passionate about, and it is the truth, and most people know that the truth hurts. So if you're a little sensitive and you really don't want to believe that medical doctors are, you know, not here for your better good, they're here for their better pockets, then you might want to not listen to this show. And whenever you're emotionally stable or able to listen to this objectively, then you can go ahead and be back at the show. It'll be archived, so they'll always be here for you. But until I get into the nitty-gritty, I want to thank everyone for their prayers and healing visualization for our first International Healing Circle session that we had on this past Monday at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It was very powerful. I made sure I was going to, actually, I was at the gym at the time, and I saw that the time was coming on upon 11 o'clock because I had set my cell phone to go off at 10:55, And once I did it, I realized, okay, I'm at the gym. I need to find some place quiet. Now, I could have went out into my truck and sat down in the quietness of my truck and did the prayer and the healing visualization. For those on the healing request list, but guess where I went? I went into the sauna. I didn't want to go in the bathroom because I didn't want any distractions. And going into the bathroom stall was just not an option for me. I just didn't want to go in there. And I noticed that nobody was in the sauna. And that was pretty powerful because even though I was in the sauna, and it wasn't turned up high at that moment, but it was high enough for me to start to sweat. And I noticed that when I start to sweat, my vibrations were elevating, and I was really putting it out there because I don't know if I was sweating more because I was really focusing on the prayer and healing visualization energy that I was sending out for myself to those individuals who were requesting for healing, or the fact that the sauna was hot. Either way, it was very effective for me. I'm sure it was very effective for everyone else. And I felt those sensations that I felt when I was in a healing circle here in Atlanta when we were in person, that energized feeling. Oh, my day was perfect that day, actually. It was just, I was on a natural high because I knew that during that time that I was focusing on the people who were requesting healing, I was feeling the connective energy from other people from all around the world. And we are all connected together. What separates us is the flesh that individualize us and make us different. But underneath the flesh, we are one spirit. I look at the Most High as a big ocean. And one person can dip a cup into the ocean, one person can dip a pail, the other one can dip a shoe, but it's, you know, whether the ocean is in the shoe, whether the ocean is in the cup or is in the pail, it still came from the main source. Now, other people will say, well, you have water in your shoe. Well, not necessarily water. It is part of the ocean, which is part of the Most High, and that part of the ocean that you call water is inside of a shoe. So that is the outside contents in which that particular item holds and decides to display the water inside the shoe, which is the ocean. The same thing with the cup, the same thing with the pail. It all came from the same source. It's just a different container which holds the source. And therefore, we are all the same way with the Most High. We are all parts. We are all parts of the Most High dipped. Or you can just say we're just dipped into the Most High. And we all have the Most High in all of us. However, some of us have we display the Most High differently. Me, I display it as a tall, beautiful black woman, okay? Others could be like a shorter Hispanic man. Others could be a little child. You know, we all have that Most High energy in us, and we all display it differently. And when we decide to connect together, keep our physical bodies still so that we can connect together for the better good of another human being or even an animal or the circumstances of society as well as the world as a whole. You feel each other. You really, really feel each other. And if you don't feel spiritually connected to everyone else, regardless of your religion. I don't get into all of that. I don't get into all that religiousism, okay? I get into spirituality. It's a difference. I know that regardless if someone is a Christian, Jewish, ooh, my mouth this morning, Catholic, if they're Buddhist, Hinduist, you know, if they do Hindu, whatever, even if they're not religious, it does not mean that they do not have a spirit, and we all are connected in that. I don't get into this religion is right and that religion is wrong. You know, everybody want to bash Islam. Islam has a place in this world, just like Christianity. They all have their place, and we should go in life without judgment and let people travel their path and stay out of their business. Leave them alone. If somebody want to worship rocks, who are you to tell them that what they're doing is wrong based upon your religious belief? When you're spiritual, you let people do what they will as long as it's not hurting other people, okay? And that is the acceptance of allowing someone to have their freedom of choice. And when you love like that and accept people like that unconditionally, you receive your blessings, because that will come onto you. Judge others, and you shall be judged. There's a lot of science in the Bible if you all know how to read it right. You all, if you get the spookiness out of there, you know how to read the Bible correctly. You know, you judging others, telling them what they should be doing, and how much they need to go there, and you're going to get the same thing back to you. What did I say about pointing your finger? You point one finger, three fingers are pointed back at you. Remember, what you throw out there come back to you threefold. So let's focus on healing others and connecting together joyfully together, and just love and heal and enlighten. And we'll live a very happy life when we go that route. Oh my goodness, I'm going on a rant, and I need this rant time to talk about my favorite subject, medical doctors. Oh, so now, let's go ahead and get into this, because I didn't even take much notes, because I really don't need much notes when it comes to this subject. But today's topic is why medical doctors want you to stay sick. And this is something that I feel very passionate about, because I am very, very thankful, for the way my mother raised me. My mom raised me. My mom and my father divorced when I was 4 or 5, I think. As a child, I was so in love with my father. He was like my hero. And I stayed with my mom up until I was 11, and then my father took custody of me, because as I began to get older, you know, growing up in poverty and in the rough areas of Southeast D.C., it was just not in my best interest, and he was very concerned with that, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can go into a whole other story about that, but I won't. And I remember as a little child, because let me tell you something, what is instilled into you before you are 7 lays your foundation. And I do remember, as a little girl, 5 or 6 years old, how my mom had to take my little brother to the hospital, and how these doctors were trying to do all kind of crazy testing and prescription things for my little brother. And I remember how my mom would challenge them. And I remember how frustrated the doctors would be, and how they were not happy to see us come. And you know, but my mom got so much respect, because she would never take what the doctor said, you know, at face value. If the doctor prescribed 3 different medications, my mom made him stand and explain why it was necessary for these medications, what are the side effects, and how long do he anticipate to keep them on here, and how can we cure my brother of asthma? You know, she would just justify it. I remember all the time she used to tell me, never trust doctors. Never trust them. If you listen to what your heart says, and I call it my common sense. Listen to what common sense says to me. That's my version of translating what my mom says. But my mom says, listen to my heart and listen to my head and listen to what they say. And if they disagree with what the doctors are saying, then you challenge it. And if you really want to break down to it, what my heart, what I say common sense, is what your spirit is saying to you. We are so disconnected to our spirit talking to us based upon the mental issues that we have that it deafens that voice, that spiritual voice that warns us, hey, this doctor is not on point with you. This doctor is not telling you what you need to know. This doctor is out to basically give you pharmaceutical drugs so he can get that family trip, that all-expense family trip paid vacation by that pharmaceutical company to Hawaii, okay? So you got to listen to your spirit. But anyway, so I grew up with this mentality. I grew up knowing that or not really taking doctors at face value and not being a sickly person. You know, my mom would find all kinds of other remedies, you know, and not herbs. We wouldn't always do herbs. My mom would go get over-counter stuff and mix them up and create her own stuff. Oh, bless her heart. She did the best she could. But I think that I give thanks for her because she laid the foundation for me to go to this path. So when I got diagnosed, I'm sorry. I don't want to skip the most important thing. All right, now my father's side of the family solely believed in doctors. They idolize doctors. They look at doctors as their savior, the people who are really here to help you, that will take care of you when you're sick. So we had that little different contrast there. And everybody on my mom, not everybody, I would say 90% of the family members on my mother's side did not stay on pharmaceutical drugs, okay? And they were not sickly, and they stayed into their lifespan well into their 90s. You didn't hear that? Well into their 90s. You know, I had great-great aunts die at 98, great uncles die at 92. You know, this is on my mom's side of the family, so that was instilled in my father's side was where everyone had cancer or they had the diabetes or they had the high blood pressure or, you know, they had MS and a lupus and a lot of sickle cell anemia. Remember that? we had a lot of sickly stuff on my father's side, and my father really, really catered to the medical doctors. And so anything, when he took custody, anything slightly wrong with me, boom, we were off to the doctor. We were off to this. We were off to that. And I couldn't stand it, you know, because of the fact of how I was raised. So on my father's side, I had two aunts who were both diagnosed with cervical cancer at different times. And I saw them both receive chemotherapy treatment at different times. And back then, many of you don't know this, but back in the early 90s, medical doctors were giving the same type of chemotherapy treatment to those melanated people, so I'll say black and Hispanics, so people of color, the same they would give to people of Anglo-Saxon descent. And the people of color were dying off faster because the dosage was too strong. The dosage that was suitable for those of Anglo-Saxon descent was too strong for those of African descent or those who were Hispanic. Anyone who was heavily melanated, meaning that you were those of the quote-unquote minority, and people were dying. And the doctors would just make notes of this, and they would try to do methods, and they finally got it that they had to lighten up on the dosage on the chemotherapy. But it killed both. Chemotherapy is poison, folks. And when it comes to cancer, it makes no common sense to poison your body, killing other organs in hopes of killing the cancer. That's so ludicrous. And how do we come to this understanding that we're going to accept that nonsense is beyond me? But anyway, one of my aunts is very, her skin was very light. But, and at that time, let me show you how chemotherapy has changed over the years. At that time, you were only allowed to get one injection every 21 to 30 days. It wasn't no once a week or once every other week, you know, craziness that they're doing now. But back then, you could only get your chemotherapy treatment once a month. So it was anywhere from 21 to 30 days. Every time my aunt, and this was different years now, this wasn't the same time, but every time my aunt got chemotherapy treatment, they were looking like they were about to die an hour after getting it, maybe even less. But they, you know, they had to be hospitalized. And my aunt that had light skin, after her third treatment, her skin was as dark as Wesley Snipes. So we're talking about someone who had skin tone as Halle Berry, but when she finished that third treatment, she was darker, she was dark like Wesley Snipes. And I was worried, and she confided in me. My other aunt didn't, but my second aunt did, and she confided in me. She says, this chemotherapy is killing me. It's killing me. I'm praying. Both sides of my families are very, very, very religious. So she would have the Jesus pictures all over the place and have the prayer. People come over and pray with her. And they would say scriptures and everything like that. In my mind, I knew it was the doctors. And everybody would say, you know, if the Lord going to take her home, I didn't believe in none of that. I didn't believe in none of that. I believe that God gives us, the Most High gives us signs that we need to stop doing what we're doing. And when she told me she believes that the chemotherapy is slowly killing her, I believe that that was the Most High telling her, hey, stop with the chemotherapy. You're not going to be here long. And with her skin turning that way, her hair is completely bald. She has no facial hair whatsoever. And she just was shriveled up. We're talking about a woman who was very hefty. She was like the typical, stereotypical black woman. Very big, loved to wear big house coats and the slippers because of her shoes hurt. I mean, and the stocking with the roll down at the ankle. I have some very, very great fond memories of my aunt. And then she's all skin and bones. And I, you know, I asked her, let's stop it. Let's stop. Let's stop. Now, mind you, I still didn't know anything about herbs. I just knew that what was happening was just not. And I would question the doctors. And, you know, my family would stop and they would go, she got the devil in her. You know, she just don't realize that God is here and he's surrounding her. And I would just look at my family and they think, well, crazy. I said, you don't see that every time they give, you know, our aunt, I'm going to leave her name out of this broadcast. Every time they give her the chemotherapy treatments, she looked like she's dying. Can you all see that? And then the doctor would justify it and says, well, that's basically the chemotherapy working in, and sometimes the organs will be affected, but at least it's killing off the cancer. Yeah, and it's killing off the other organs. Long story short, after the fourth treatment, and immediately after the fourth treatment, my second aunt went into cardiac arrest. The first aunt just died like 3 days after her last treatment, and my other aunt went into a heart attack. She had a cardiac arrest, and she died. They both died different times, 2 years apart, chemotherapy, okay? Now, I see this happening, and they both had cervical cancer. So lo and behold, I'm in college. I get cervical cancer. Now, why I get cervical cancer is a whole nother story in itself. But I get cervical cancer, and it was in my system for a while because I was at stage 3 cervical cancer, okay? And the only options I was offered was a complete hysterectomy, along followed by several series of chemotherapy treatments. Now here's me. I'm my mother's daughter, and I've seen two of my aunts suffer chemotherapy treatments. Also, they too had hysterectomies as well and suffered complications from those surgeries. So I've seen all that hell they went through. And my spirit was yelling, we ain't doing this. We are not doing this. And I looked at the doctor and said, hysterectomy, not an option. Chemotherapy, hell no. We got to come up with another solution. And I remember the doctor getting angry. Now, why would a doctor get angry because I'm rejecting one of the many methods to cure myself, okay? So that's another story in itself. Doctors should not get angry with you because you're not doing what they say. But if they have a God complex, which most of them do, and you do not do what they tell you to do, that's an arrogance from their ego that causes them to get angry. To cause them to get frustrated with you. Because as far as they're concerned, you are to do what they say because they're medical doctors. So when I told the doctor, I'm not doing chemo and I'm definitely not letting you take my uterus, there has to be another way. And he says, well, we could do radiation, but radiation is not going to kill the cancer completely. And at the time, I was considering, let's get radiation a try, but he wouldn't offer it to me because of the fact that I refused to get the hysterectomy. And then he says, well, we'll give you a partial hysterectomy. We'll keep the ovaries in you, and we'll just take everything else. And I said, no, man, I'm going to have children in the future. Are you kidding me? I am going to live, and I am going to basically have kids. And he beat me down. With it, when I say beat me down, not physically, but he beat me down emotionally by telling me, you know, if I don't do this, I will die. And how many other patients have survived with this procedure and that my chances of survival will be better. And if I go ahead and in my route, I won't live past, I think it's six months. If I don't do what he says, I won't live past 6 months, 3 if I'm lucky. And that was all I needed to hear. I was tired of listening to that. And I said, well, you know what? If I'm going to die in 6 months, fine. But I'd rather die a nice life than to die on a hospital bed suffering in pain. And since I'm going to die, ain't no need for me to pay you, so see ya. You can't hunt down a dead person for debt now, can you? So I was pissed. I was so mad. And I drove back home to my apartment that was off campus in tears. I felt so devastated, and I accepted death. And I thought I was going to die. And then that's when I met Valerie, who changed my life, and it's the reason why I'm here today, because she came to me and told me the next day, by the way, that there is a cure for cancer, and she worked with me the entire 6 months, and I am alive, and I have outlived my doctor, by the way. So who won the end of that battle, okay? He won that little battle, but I ended up winning the war. And so I'm still here. And I had to tell you that story because we have gotten to the point where we allow doctors to bully us. We allow doctors to just do everything that they want to us for the sake of them being quote-unquote doctors. And I'm going to make a couple of drops, but when I come back, we're going to learn how they condition us, because as many of you probably don't know, I am a hypnotherapist as well, And I got into hypnotherapy because I wanted to know, how does society or the powers that be subconsciously hypnotize us, as well as send us subliminal messages to buy the things we buy, to do the things we do. You know, it all got started with the milk thing. If anyone of you ever been to a farm, and I have, because my family comes from the country, even though I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., my roots are down here in Georgia as well as North Carolina, and my family have farms here. So I know, I've seen chicken, and I've seen cows, and I've seen them nasty pigs. And you know what? Cows stink. And I always wanted to know, when you go into the grocery store and you go by the milk section, you hear a cow mooing, and that makes you want to pick up milk. You don't come from a cow. A cow didn't give birth to you. So why would you want to drink milk? But it's the subliminal messages that you've been programmed from the time your mom had you inside her womb, that milk from a cow was better than milk from a human being. So if I was to offer you a glass of milk from a cow, you wouldn't think that was crazy. But if I was to offer you a glass of milk from another woman, you would be like, ew, yuck, ugh, I don't want that. What? She could have the cooties. The cow got cooties. That's why it's pasteurized daggone milk. And that's called subliminal hypnosis. So you've been hypnotized to think illogically. You know, your common sense is gone, and that's why I got into hypnotherapy, to learn the techniques that people use. And we're going to go over those techniques that doctors use every time you go and visit them. So when we get back, we really going to light the fire underneath the pot. So stay tuned.
Holistic Healing Wellness Center, providing holistic health care all across the world. Our website is full of information from herbology, personal training, fitness, nutrition, massage therapy, herbal remedies, and a whole lot more. Check out our free health tips or even sign up for our monthly newsletter. Our website address is www.healingpowerhour.com. That's healingpowerhour.com, or give us a call at 770-603-0141. This is Healing Power Hour Radio with your host, Dr. Akila L. To listen to other archive radio shows full of health tips, holistic advice, and other natural remedies, check out our website at healingpowerhour.com. That's healingpowerhour.com. While you're there, feel free to sign up for our monthly newsletter and check out our list of educational videos. Have a health topic you would like us to discuss on the air? Tell us all about it by giving us a call at 770-603-0141, or go to our website to fill out our suggestion form. We look forward to hearing from you. HealingPowerHour.com.
And we are back, and welcome to Healing Power Hour Radio. This is Dr. Akila, and today's topic is why medical doctors want you to stay sick. Well, I'll give you the answer to that right now, so they can stay paid, point blank. But we're going to learn the tricks and trades that medical doctors practice on you, using subliminal messages and hypnotic techniques, because I want everyone to stop acting like a zombie when you go into these medical facilities, and then you leave out with all this prescription drugs. And then when you see me, I ask you, well, what was this part for? I'm not sure. Well, why did he suggest this treatment? He said something about the difference is the reason why I'm questioned a lot, and because I'm a naturopathic doctor. All naturopathic doctors get questioned. We get questioned like we're trying to borrow money from you, okay? And we don't mind, because we're here to educate, and I do not shun down anyone for questioning me. I love questions. If you don't, if you have a question to ask me, then go ahead and ask me during our session, or you can email me and I'll answer them. If I don't know, my ego's not into this, where I'm going to come up with some fictitious answer so that I can still keep my credibility with you. If I don't know the answer to your question, I would sincerely say, I don't have an answer to your question at the moment, but if you give me a day or two and let me look into that, I will come up with an answer. Or if it's just something I just probably can never get an answer to, I'll just say, I don't have an answer to that. And that's usually with, you know, with questions on how long will this herbal regimen last me and when will I see results. It's all depending upon, are you willing to do what you're supposed to do to get the results. You do what's stated on your regimen, you'll get the results. You don't do it, or you halfway do it, then you're not going to get the results that you're talking, that you're looking for. First of all, let's talk about the reason why doctors have to prescribe you medications, the reason why doctors have to suggest unnecessary testings, the reason why doctors have to refer you to other doctors and other surgeons is because if you have good insurance, or if you don't have good insurance, but you know, if you have insurance nonetheless, first of all, you got good insurance, they will put notations in the computer about that, and then next thing you know, you're getting all kind of testing done and all kinds of surgical consults, and you think you're being treated really well, but they're just milking your insurance company for all the things that they're doing to you, which is unnecessary. And the reason why they do these things is because if you look at the cost to go to medical school, now we're talking about school after going to undergrad school. So you're going to your regular undergrad school, and then once you graduate from that, then you have to go to medical school. So whatever cost for the first 4 years of undergrad school, then you have to go to med school for another 4 years. And when you add those two tuitions together, that's a lot of money. Medical schools, their sales cost anywhere from $175,000 to $200,000. Now, they have to pay that back when they get a job at a hospital or a private practice. And even when they start working, the first year they're not even really in a position to even be solo doctors. I forget, what is that, apprentice or the intern, something like that. I'm not even sure. But their pay is not high. It's until they're in their residence, doctor residence. That's when the money starts coming in. The more prescription drugs they prescribe, the more benefits they receive. They have to pay off both loans to two different colleges, and they also have to live a certain lifestyle. We as Americans expect our medical doctors to drive the finest cars, and we expect them to wear the finest suits, and we expect them to live in the finest locations as well as the house. And guess what? If we want that for them, they want that for themselves as well. And they cannot get that by curing diseases. They cannot get that by making you well. Pharmaceutical drugs are here to keep you sick. And the doctors know that if you keep coming back to them, you keep coming back to them, because they're not taking care of the root cause. Medical doctors do not believe in taking care of the root cause of problems, because if they take care of the root cause of problems, which naturopathic doctors do, they will not see you again. Do you understand this? I have helped lots of people, and it could be a little lonely, but you know what? There is, because I get attached to my clients. I know my clients. I don't have to get a clipboard with their folder attached to it and look through it to see who they are. When I see their faces, when I hear their voice, I know them. You know why? Because the first consultation, we're spending so much time together. We're spending an hour, no more than an hour and a half together. You know, I'm doing their testing, and I'm talking to them, and I'm listening, and I'm connecting with them, and I'm giving them good healing vibrations. Everybody feels good when they leave a naturopathic doctor's office, especially when they leave mine, because I'm dealing with all your bodies. But when you see a medical doctor, you only see him for five, no more than 10 minutes. And after that, he got to go see somebody else. They're seeing about 20 people within that 30-minute time frame, and they cannot stay there and get to know you and spend time with you because that neglects time from the other 19 people that they have to see. No, you know, when it comes to master herbalists and naturopathic doctors, we focus on one person at a time, and that person is have our undivided attention for an hour. And they're not used to that, but we need that hour in order to know how to take care of you completely and naturally heal you. And if you don't come back and see us anymore because you're healthy, good. Good, okay? We have no need for you to be sickly and keep coming to see us because there's lots of people to take your place. And therefore, you're healthy, you make people around you healthy. But with medical doctors, the more you stay sick, the more they take care of the surface, which is the symptoms, then the more, let's give an example. Let's give an example. Say, for instance, all right, you're having severe allergies, and you come see the doctor, all right, and instead of finding out what it is you're eating, what it is you're drinking, milk, hint, hint, milk, cow's milk, hint, hint, cow's milk, dairy products from the cow, instead of finding out the cause and effect of food, which they don't know in their defense, and I don't really defend doctors too much, but in medical doctors' defense, they don't understand how food affects the body. So they don't understand that drinking milk is bad for you instead of good for you because they only took 4 hours of nutrition. The rest of their studies dealt with how to deal with pharmaceutical drugs and the side effects, and how to prescribe other pharmaceutical drugs for the side effects of original pharmaceutical drugs, okay? You know, the reason why we're called master herbalists and medical doctors get licensed to practice medicine, well, for the rest of their career, they will keep practicing it. If they try this medication and this medication give you a heart attack, oops, let's try something else. Okay, and they'll give you something else. And if this one gives you blood clots that cause the heart attack, then they'll give you the same medication, lower the dose to give you another medication to stop the blood clots. But the blood clots cause edema, which is water retention. So they give you something for, they give you a water pill. Next thing you know, they're giving you 5 prescription drugs. You're on 5 different medications. Where us, we deal with the root cause of why you're having the issues you're having. All right? What's going on with the cholesterol? Is it you're eating? Is it the fact that you're not doing a minimum of 30 minutes of exercises at least 3 to 4 times a week? You know, we go into all of those things because we want to take care of the root cause. Take care of the underlying issue. There is no symptoms. So when you're coming in there and see him for allergies, he just want to give you because you're just tired of sneezing. You're tired of having your nose stopped up. You're tired of going through rolls and rolls of tissues every day. You're tired of your eyes being watery and red and puffy. So what does he do? If that's what you're complaining about, he gives you a prescription medication to alleviate those signs. And all that is your body telling you, hey, something's wrong. I'm making your eyes puffy for a reason. I'm making you stuffed up and sneezing and coughing and barely breathing for a reason. And it's because you're doing this, you're drinking that. You're in this environment where there's black mold, and there's a bad mold problem down here in Georgia. And there's a way of handling that from the natural aspect. But the doctors, instead of looking into your living environment, they just give you medications that will stop those those symptoms. The antihistamines are not good for you, ladies and gentlemen. And the more prescription they prescribe, and every time you fill it out, okay, I think the pharmaceutical reps that are in the drug stores as well as the department stores, they enter your information as well as the doctor into the computer. That information goes back to your doctor as well as going back to the pharmaceutical companies so they can see who is actually dishing out the medication and who is actually filling them out. And the doctor who has the patients who fill the most medications out win the booby prize. No, they win more than the booby prize. They win lots of benefits. They do not get, I may have said in the past that they get paid, and that's not true, I don't think, and I have to research that. But I have talked I have several clients who are pharmaceutical reps. They come to medical doctors all the time, and they do reward them with paid vacations and elaborate dinners, and they just send them in trips or a car or, you know, lots of a boat or, you know, lots of, depending on the state, they give lots of merchandise but they reward them with a lot of pleasurable things, not necessarily money. So they give that to them instead of dealing with the root cause. So you get on the medication for the allergies, but it's causing side effects, and then the doctor gives you more medications to deal with those side effects instead of dealing with the root problem. So then you have to come back and see them and see them and see them. Let's just go through a typical visit to the doctor. And I want to say this, I want to put this out here. 60% of the people who are diagnosed with high blood pressure are misdiagnosed. And let me show you how. Okay, 60%. 60% of the people who are on high blood pressure medication do not necessarily have high blood pressure. Let me tell you how that happens. Okay, you have an 8 a.m. appointment. Okay, now some people can't take a day off from work to go see a doctor, so they do their best to go see the doctor way ahead of time before they have to go to work. So say, for instance, you got to go to work at 1 o'clock p.m., so you're going to set up your doctor visit at 8 o'clock a.m. because no one knows how long they're going to stay in a doctor's visit. So you show up at 8 o'clock, and then when you show up at 8 o'clock, the receptionist takes your name, and then she gives you a stack of papers to fill out. Now, filling out this stack of papers causes you stress because the doctor wants to know about your mama, your daddy, your Aunt Sue, your Uncle Charles, everybody, okay? He wants to know about the dog you had when you was 4 years old. They want to know all this information about you. When you come to a naturopathic doctor, all we want you to do is fill out your name, your address, and if you're on any type of medication so that we don't suggest any herbs that's going to counteract against it, and we can also talk about the herbs, and that you understand that we're not medical doctors and you sign that waiver letting you know that we are not medical doctors. That's it. We don't need to know about your mom and dad and Aunt Sue and all those other people, all them other folks in your family. They are irrelevant. I don't believe that diseases are inherited. I believe that lifestyles are passed down from generations and generations until somebody stops it. Anyway, so then you fill out that paperwork. So that's going to take anywhere from 8 o'clock to 8:10. So at 8:10, you finally finish all that paperwork that you done filled out, your insurance information, you put down your driver's license and your driver's license number, yada, yada, yada. So you bring that back in. And you go back in, you wait. You go sit down and you wait until the nurse calls you. And how long do you wait? It's not like you sit down and the nurse calls you within 5 minutes. You're waiting anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. And you know I'm right. You know I'm right. Think about all the visits you made when you showed up on time. And when you sat down, you had to wait anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes, an hour to 2 hours. I've had clients have to wait 3 hours before the doctor actually saw them. And remember, you're sitting there, the longer you have to wait, the more angry you're getting, the more worried you're about you know, getting about whether you're gonna make it in time to go to your job, or the fact that you're sitting there, you know, just waiting and waiting and waiting, and you're gonna feel anxious. Guess what this do, folks? This drives up your blood pressure. You could be a marathon runner, and you sit there and you wait 2 hours before the doctor see you. You think you're gonna have a normal blood pressure come blood pressure taking time? Oh, but guess what? You not only are you sitting there waiting that long, you're paying attention to everybody else in the room. You're looking at other people who are just as sick and maybe even worse off than you. You're seeing other people upset. Nobody in that waiting room looks happy, and that's contagious. Remember, a smile is contagious? Well, so is a frown. They unhappy, that's going to make you unhappy, and you all are vibrating on an unhappy level. Welcome to hell. That's hell right there. Everybody in that waiting room is miserable, they're unhappy, and they are very tired of waiting for their one doctor to come see them. Finally, when the nurse calls your name, you feel like you have hit the lottery because you're so ready to get the hell out of there, okay? And yes, hell, it's hell in there. So you're ready to get the hell out. So you go and you finally see she wants to take your blood pressure. Instead of it being normal 120 over 80, it's 160 over 98. And she goes, woo, that's high. You think? Okay, so now she writes down the fact that you got high. You know, she writes down your blood pressure reading. Then she takes you into the exam room. And tell you take off your clothes and put on this hospital gown, and the doctor will see you in a minute. Those rooms are always cold. They're cold when you come in there with normal clothes. Then you take those clothes off. They want you to put on this hospital gown, and to make you really uncomfortable, and it's going to make you even colder. So now you got, guess what? You're cold, and you sit and you wait even more for your doctor. And you're listening to people in the next room either moaning in pain, or, you know, they're either coughing and, oh my goodness. You're just surrounded by sickness. And you're hearing all this next door to you, or if there's a curtain pulled over, you're hearing it really through the little curtains that's dividing you. And then you're just anxious for your doctor to come see you, but you're still in the little waiting room. You're relieved that you're in your little exam room, but you're still waiting for the doctor to show up. Finally, in that cold room. Oh, you know what else you do in those rooms? You pay attention to the items that are inside the room. You pay attention to the big red box that got the big X over it for toxic chemicals. You pay attention to the cotton balls, the iodine. You just pay attention to the Band-Aids, everything around you, and also the signs that show the anatomy of the body. You know that room like the back of your hands because you're sitting there waiting, and you're cold. Let's not forget the fact that you're cold wearing nothing but a little gown with your booty all out. So you're waiting, and then finally the doctor finally comes. And he comes in. You hear him take the chart off the door. He comes in with the nurse if you're a woman. If you're a man, he's just coming by himself. He goes through all this. And so he's not really interested or really happy to see you. It's just very blasé. He's going through the motions, asking you questions. You tell him how you feel. If you start talking too much, he'll cut you off and say, well, we'll go ahead and run you through some tests. And then he tells the nurse, now, you only saw him, even though you waited 3 hours to see him, you only get to see him for 5 minutes while he go schedule you for a series of tests. You go get all these tests, which is another 2 hours, because you either had to wait for the x-ray machine or you had to wait for them to get the machine from the fifth floor all the way to the 12th floor to the bottom floor. And then finally, you get all your tests, blah, blah, blah. Some of the tests is ready. Some of the tests is not ready. If you're lucky, he'll tell you the results right then and there, and then basically give you your pharmaceuticals and then leave. Or if the testing will take a while, especially blood work, they schedule you for to come back. And guess what happens with all this, whether the doctor has prescribed you medications or he has rescheduled you to come back to get your testing reading, you leave unhappy. Who leaves the doctor happy? Okay? I tell you who, people who are ready to get out of the hospital. People who have been admitted into the hospital are happy to get out of there because they don't want to be there. It is a very unhealthy place. It is a very sickly place. And it is a place of death as far as I'm concerned. Am I constantly against medical doctors? No. I appreciate medical doctors. I honor them because when it comes to you getting in an accident or if you were a burn victim, if you had your finger cut off, all you got to do is take that other bit of finger and put it in ice, run to the emergency room, and they can put it back together, and it will work as if you never cut it off in the first place. They can do face transplants. They can do a lot of things. If you have come into a cardiac arrest and you have to be revived, they can bring you back to life. They're good at that. But when it comes to illnesses and diseases or disease, whatever you want to say, I say dis-ease. When it comes to that, I stay the heck away from them. I don't deal with them on that level. I stopped having insurance when I left the police force back in 1997. Or was it 1996? I can't remember. I haven't been back to a hospital except for a car accident, two car accidents. One was my fault, one wasn't my fault, but the car insurance paid for that. And I said, anything dealing with, no, let me take that back. I had water in my lungs due to an allergic reaction to mold. That's just how I know a lot about mold in Georgia, because it happened to me. And I need to understand, where was I having fluid in my lungs? And I need x-ray, because we don't have x-ray machines. And so I went to the hospital to get that done. And you're talking about fight the power. I had to fight them trying to, you know, give me all kind of prescription drugs to take aspirin because they think it's a blood clot because I took an eight-hour trip from here to Germany 2 years ago, which they wanted to call. Oh, my goodness. They are just so full of it. And I had to cuss the nurse out for her to stop trying to shove aspirin down my throat. I told her, if it ain't free, leave me alone. I'm only here to pay for the x-rays. I want to know where I need to know what's going on with my lungs and why. And once they did that, I found out, and I came home and looked up some research. First of all, got the herbs to heal me, but also had to look up the research on mold and the different types of mold that's being reported here in Georgia. But anyway, no one leaves their doctor feeling great emotionally, and you leave feeling beat down. And the medical doctors have to keep that so you can keep coming back to them. They're no different than a drug dealer on the corner. You know, once you're hooked, you have to come back for your fix. And the medical doctors need you to come back for your fix so that they can keep their lifestyle at a certain level, rightfully so, because who would want a medical doctor living in the projects? They need you to keep coming so that they can keep tapping into the health insurance, because the health insurance is catering to all this nonsense as well. That's why health insurance will never deal with naturopathic doctors. Why would they? You only have to deal with us, you know, depending upon your illness, you only have to deal with us 2-3 times a year. That's it. Whereas if you're seeing doctors several times a year, you know, especially if you have cancer, you see them at least 12 times a year. But we deal with the root cause. We don't deal with that. And so why medical doctors want you to stay sick? So they can stay paid. In a story. Okay. Wow. I had little notes on this, and I still want to talk more about it, but I'm running out of time, so I only got 2 more minutes, so I'm going to end with this. Ladies and gentlemen, use your common sense when you go see the doctors. Do not take what they say at face value. Question them. Research these pharmaceutical drugs that they're prescribing you, all right? Make them accountable for why they want to suggest certain surgeries. Ask these questions so when you come to me, I don't have to ask you and you go, I don't know. You need to basically look and question them as if they're wanting to borrow money from you. You just don't loan money out to somebody just because they say they would like to borrow it. You question them, okay? research it. Learn how to be your own medical doctor. Learn how to be your own doctor, and learn how to take effect on your bodies. Please. Now, we might do a part two on this one because I love this type of topic. This is Dr. Akilah. I'm going to sign off right now. I only got one more minute left. And thank you for tuning in to Healing Power Hour. Please check out our website for other archived broadcasts. Shows in the past at healingpowerhour.com, and if you would like to talk to me in reference to any of our services, 770-603-0141. I'm going to leave out here with an oldie but goodie, and this is from Gil Scott-Heron saying, "It's winter in America. I love you all, and I leave you with the blessings of love, peace, health, and prosperity. Take care."
From the Indians, welcome the pilgrims, and to the buffalo, who once ruled the plains. Like the vultures, circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America, yes, and all of the hills have been killed, sent away, yeah, but the people know it's winter. Winter in America, and ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America. The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, the struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. It looks like he's hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops, watching last its races marching across the floor. But just like the peace signs that vanished in our dreams, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America, and all of the hills have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Lord knows it's winter in America. Nobody knows what to say. Save your soul from a winter in America. Think. it's a winter. Winter in America. And all of the healers done been killed. Sent away. Yeah, the people know. The people know it's winter. Winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows what to say. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows, nobody knows. Fighting, cause nobody knows what to say.